Saturday, the 6th of April. Mum and I went to the Plaistow Library and walked down to Canning Town to pay the electric light bill, only to find the electricity offices closed. Tonight we listen to a fine performance of Gounod's Faust from La Scala, Milan, relayed by Montecineri, Switzerland. It lasted from 8 o'clock till just after 11. Monday, the 8th of April. That idiot Williams, instead of giving us the opportunity of revision, gives us a lot of bilge about centering for concrete floors. Needless to say, with the exam so near, he got scant attention. Friday, the 19th of April. Good Friday. I came up by bus this morning. There were more people about than one would think. The bus was full by the time we reached Poplar. The day hangs heavily with very little to do. At the time of writing, I feel headachy, irritable, and as though I never want to see another book. Reading palls after a time, even with me. At the same time, I must say that the time has passed quickly since I commenced entering the particulars, since the middle of Sunday's entry, and the last half hour has flown. The weather is anything but promising, showery with very few bright intervals. Saturday, the 20th of April. I came up to work on the bike and was lucky enough to get off at midday. Brett, however, was not so lucky, and we had to miss the 12:40 and catch instead the 1:30. As it was, we only had a margin of about 10 minutes. Incidentally, George rang up during the morning to say he couldn't very well have the day off next Thursday as his mother, who is in the London hospital, undergoes an operation on that date. Hence, I have arranged to have Tuesday off instead, especially as Brett has it as well. Anyhow, after a fast run to Basingstoke, where we changed, and a slow one by local train from there, we reached Andover Junction at about 3:30. We set off immediately and, after a brief delay in finding the right road, were soon speeding along the Exeter Road across the approach to Salisbury Plain. We soon reached Amesbury and then climbed up to Stonehenge. What a romantic place that always seemed to me before today. It is an undoubted swiss. I imagined a group of large, even huge, stones flopped about anyhow over a space at least 1/2 mile wide. Instead, we saw a heap of stones, huge certainly, plonked together in a space scarcely 100 feet wide. Of course, I took a snap of it, but I shall not mind if I never see it again. Also, incidentally, a charge of 6 pence to see the thing is made. Not that I paid, having seen quite enough for my liking. However, we pushed on and once clear of the plain, passed through many pretty villages. The plain, by the way, was a revelation. It looks just as if one of the northern moors had been transplanted. It is fairly high too, and undulates between 300 and 600 feet. Towards the western end of the plain, the country began to rise till we reached the neighbourhood of 800 feet above sea level. There were still, of course, no trees about. Before reaching Cricklade, we took a byroad south and crossed the main road from Salisbury at Hindon. From here, we were within the area of Bart's half inch belonging to Brett's brother, kindly lent for the occasion. The map, I mean. We struck south to the charming village of East Noyle, where we took the opportunity of having a drink from a pump and purchasing a loaf of bread and some cheese for weekend consumption. I think a word or two of explanation would not be amiss here. As we are hard up, Mum suggested that we should take some cheese with us and purchase some bread on the way to eat with it. This would save our stopping anywhere for eats in the middle of the day and would cost very little. We jumped at the idea, but if you can think of a more bulky article of food to accommodate than a cottage loaf, I should like to know it. However, Brett took the top half and I the bottom for the time being. We started looking around for lodgings soon after, as it was nearly sunset. We tried to get to a place beyond Shaftesbury, but eventually reached that town at lighting up time and decided to try there. The first place was full up, but they went to no end of trouble to get us fixed up, and after 2 more tries, we were lucky. We got to bed about 10 o'clock. Sunday, the 21st of April. We set off from Shaftesbury this morning, soon after 10 o'clock. Shaftesbury is a quaint, quiet old town full of stone walls. The town band was playing in the centre of the marketplace when we arrived, but played God Save the King as we reached it. We travelled west along the main road for a while, and then roughly southwest through several lanes to Sturminster Newton. Here we were successful in getting a drink from a roadside tap. We had our first sample of a bread and cheese lunch. It was very dry, and we could have done with some fruit. However, we were hungry and polished off a good part of our supply. We struck off some more lanes and over a large hill for a quick descent into Cerne Abbas. This is a pretty little town, but we didn't tarry, but climbed another 600 or more feet, looking back at the Cerne giant, and eventually came out at Maiden Newton. From here, we did a proper cross-country run. We started up a long lane, which started well, good surface and all that. But after about a mile and a half, we passed a farm and passed our first gate across the road. After this, we went through gate after gate until we came to a farm past which there seemed no way. However, there was a post office box there, which called the place West Compton. On reference to the map, we found no mention of such a place, but there were two Comptons hereabouts, and we should be at the westernmost one, Compton Abbas. We verified it by discovering a church behind the farm, an average-sized one, and fairly modern-looking, though where the congregation comes from I cannot imagine. We then traced the road westward over a range of hills. This road led up to a field full of sheep, too many rams for Brett's liking, and the metalling disappeared so much that across the second field we had difficulty in tracing out the grassy track. Just as we were beginning to think we had lost the way, we came across a road along which came about four motor cars. I say a road, though it was only metalled with flints, and what those cars were doing on it I cannot guess. According to the map, the road was the Roman one between Dorchester and Exeter, and certainly the hills we saw abounded in camps. Coming up onto the plateau on top of the range, we had our first glimpse of the sea, and also we had a beautiful vista of the cliffs round Lyme Bay. A grand view. As we were descending towards the coast, Brett's front tyre went flat, and we found a great flint had made a great cut in it. Whilst we were repairing it, a countryman came and spoke a good deal of the surrounding country and the Roman roads and camps. Very interesting, especially his dialect. We followed the coast road to Bridport and had a walled snow fruit, much needed, I can tell you, and then climbed up and down. Indeed, from here on, the way was all switchback, and the heights on each occasion seemed to rise 400 feet at least. We reached Lyme Regis at about nightfall. We didn't have much trouble in fixing up for the night, and after a sumptuous feast, got to bed about 10 o'clock. Monday the 22nd of April. Whilst we were having breakfast this morning, a heavy shower of rain fell and lasted to nearly 10 o'clock. However, it left off before we started, and the sun shone brilliantly during the rest of the day. We walked along the promenade a bit and then climbed up into Devon. Soon after crossing the border, we turned off the main road through a private park, which brought us out into Roden, and we had a remarkably steep descent into Axmouth. From here, we followed the coast through Seaton and Bere, and then climbed up again and descended into Branscombe, an ideal spot. Here we bought some fruit and were swizzed sixpence for half a pound of apples. One of mine was bad. And a penny halfpenny each for oranges. One of mine was mouldy, as I discovered to my cost later in the day. As it was now after 1 o'clock, we decided it was time to turn round, so we made inland up a charming valley and then turned into the hills by many leafy lanes in the direction of Honiton. We bypassed this town, keeping to the ridge of moors to the east of it, and a few miles further on rejoined the main Exeter-London road, to which we kept for some time. By the time we reached Ilminster, we had left the hills and Devon and rode swiftly over the plains of Somerset. After the dragging miles of yesterday, we appeared to fly along and reach Ilchester in record time. By this time, we were on the Foss Way, and we kept along it for some 6 miles or so, and then turned east once more to Castle Carey, which is a pretty large place, and thence to Bruton, which is a very old-fashioned town. One reason for going so far north was to make a different route from that we had followed on the way out, but after climbing the hills beyond Bruton, it began to get dark, and consulting the CTC handbook, the only likely place we should be able to put up appeared to be Wincanton, so we had to strike 6 miles south again. We were fixed up immediately, this at about 10 o'clock. Tuesday the 23rd of April. Today the sun scorched down all the time, and I should think it is the hottest we've had this year. We set off at 10 or soon after, but I seemed to drag, owing to the hills partly, but mostly because of a raging thirst. However, after discovering a tap at which I reckon I drank half a gallon and later taking off both zip jacket and jumper, I was able to keep up a good pace. We kept at the main road all the time, passing through Hindon and Wilton to Salisbury, which is a large town and the traffic in it was rife, and then climbed up along the edge of the plain through Middle Wallop, eventually reaching Andover soon after 4 o'clock. We caught a fast train from Andover, which reached Waterloo at 20 minutes past six, so that we caught the rush hour traffic on the way home. Now for some statistics. The total mileage I cycled was 237. Train ride totaled 108. Grand total, 345 miles. Total cost of the whole trip, including fares, £1, 12 shillings, 8 pence halfpenny. Thursday, the 25th of April. I received the saddest news I have had for a long time. George rang me up this afternoon to say that his mother, who was in London Hospital and was to have undergone an operation there today, was taken ill with influenza and passed away on Wednesday, yesterday. It was a great shock and, for my part, unexpected. The funeral is on Saturday. Friday, the 26th of April. Tonight, Mum and I went over to Upminster to take a wreath and, of course, Mum broke down as soon as she got there. Naturally, all the Simmonses are very upset, and Mum and Dad and I, too, are very sad over the affair. Saturday, the 27th of April. None of us went to the funeral today. I went to the pictures this afternoon to take my mind off the subject and saw Cicely Courtage in Things Are Looking Up. It was very good and very funny. The other film, Murder at Broadcasting House, was also good, and both were British pictures. Monday, the 29th of April. Brett and I have been considering what we should do next week when the King's Silver Jubilee is celebrated. It has occurred to us that as so many people will be in London to see the procession and generally jubilate, it will not be a bad idea if we go away for the weekend. We do not intend to go far from London, as we cannot afford another train journey so soon. But we reckon if we keep within the area covered by Bart's half-inch maps of Hertfordshire and Essex, we shall not only see some fresh country, but it should be easy to get put up. Tuesday, the 30th of April. The weather is uncertain of late and somewhat cool. Everybody, naturally, is hoping that it will keep fine for the Jubilee. It would be a pity to have a wet day after all these preparations that are going on. Every main road has its quota of decorations, and throughout St Marylebone and along the lines of the procession in Westminster and the city, great poles are being erected to be adorned with bunting, etc., and stands are being built for the accommodation of such spectators as are willing to pay a fabulous sum, I have heard 12 guineas a seat, to view the spectacular procession on Monday.